There doesn't really seem to be any end in sight, does there, to this political argy-bargy over the China-Australia Free Trade Agreement. The issue of Chinese workers entering Australia looks set to be a battleground issue for the Canning by-election, which is Saturday week. And for certain occupations and certain projects, the trade agreement waives the need for employers to show that they've made a genuine effort to hire Australians first before resorting to offshore recruitment. But some migration experts say that labour market testing, which is what everyone's been so upset about, doesn't really protect local jobs anyway, even if it is used. Henry Sherrill is one of those people, a policy analyst with the Migration Council of Australia. Henry Sherrill, welcome to Breakfast.
Thanks, James.
So the government and opposition are sort of knee-deep in this argument over what labour market testing is, how it'll be applied. You say that misses the point. Why?
Well, I think it's important, I suppose, to show what's trying to be achieved. Now, labour market testing is bureaucrat speak for advertising a job. And the goal, the both parties, it's a bipartisan goal, is that Australians should have first go in the labour market. Now, does forcing an employer to advertise a job achieve that goal? I don't think so. And I think we can see this because most employers, you know, the vast majority of employers under the 457 visa program do the right thing. They employ a migrant when there's a skills gap. However, as we can see in some recent media reports, there are those who will do the wrong thing. Now, this is where you are going to have employers whose intentions are never to be to employ Australian people. So if you force them to have a Facebook ad and it's a hoop which they can jump through, it's not going to create any Australian employment regardless of if they meet that requirement or not.
And why do you say Facebook ad? Is that really the test of an employee of meeting the Australian testing market standards, to simply put an ad on Facebook saying we've got a job for an electrician?
Well, I mean, part of the problem of this whole debate is that it's very hard for a government to regulate something as cleanly as this. Now, we could have a much higher standard where people need to show all sorts of things around how they've done their recruitment and all, you know, all types of HR decisions.
Like take 2 months to do a demonstrate you've had ads on the internet,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
That's right. But I mean, again, the point is that most employers, the vast majority of employers, already do all this stuff.
Not because they have to, but because they feel it's good business.
That's right. Exactly. That's a very good point.
So if we make it very, very hard to try and get the disreputable employers to behave as well as the reputable ones, we'll be applying this massive administrative burden on the reputable ones, but will the disreputable ones at least come on board?
Probably not. I really think that it's very, very hard through mechanisms like this to get poor employers, which I think it needs to be emphasised are a small proportion of the overall program, to do the right thing. Much better mechanisms are compliance operated, and there's been some moves over the past 3 or 4 years by both sides of government around compliance mechanisms in the 457 visa program.
What do you mean by that? How is that different to labour market testing?
Oh, I mean enforcing rules. Doing spot checks on the ground. Brendan O'Connor, when he was the Immigration Minister, introduced powers for the Fair Work Ombudsman. These types of on-the-ground enforcement and compliance tests work much better than sort of paperwork, desk-based things.
But the Fair Work Ombudsman only takes on something like 50 cases a year.
No, of course. And I think that's a very important point. Now, that's a funding limitation. That's not anything to do with they're mandated to only do 50 cases a year.
So Australian workers have the choice of either not getting the job because of an unscrupulous Chinese employer not offering it to them, or they have the choice of not getting the job or indeed being abused in the job, but the Fair Work Ombudsman without the funding to do anything about it.
Well, I don't think it's quite that simple. I think there are other mechanisms we can look at as well, which will help on the margins. And, you know, it's very well known that employers respond to prices, not paperwork. And so we could look at some type of fees being better used in the program itself. Now, currently, an employer has to pay $330 to nominate a worker. That could definitely be looked at to increase that. That would raise some money, which would we hopefully be able to fund some more enforcement activities.
Could that be done even though the China Free Trade Agreement is already signed?
Yes, yes. And I think this is an important point of the China Free Trade Agreement is there's been some, I think, misinformation around this is going to limit our ability to change policy settings. Now, I don't believe that's the case at all. There are certain things which we're not going to be able to do, such as labour market testing, but it's pretty clear that that is the major that's the major change for the 457 visa program in the China Free Trade Agreement. Not, you know, which occupations we can look at, prices, training levies, other mechanisms which are for policymakers.
And is it true that there's the misconception around this is the perception that there are no circumstances in which foreign workers can be brought here now with no labour market testing? We already can bring workers here without labour market testing, can't we?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Now, I think for many of the reasons that we talked about just before, labour market testing is currently exempt for the majority of the program. So managers and professionals in the labour market do not require labour market testing.
This isn't the China deal. This is just the existing 457 arrangements.
That's right. That's right. And so labour market testing was reintroduced in 2013, and then it was implemented by the coalition government. What's in the Migration Act says that, you know, there can be these very broad exemptions. And, you know, labour market testing for the visa grants for the last 9 months, it looks like it's probably been applicable to about 15 to 20% of the program.
Let me just ask this finally and briefly. What do you think, once or if the China Free Trade Agreement comes in, what will the Australian workforce look like in 10 or 20 years?
Well, I'm not a trade expert, so I don't know the implications of what differences there'll be from the trade aspects of the deal. But from a migration point of view, I think that the deal is going to have very, very minor implications for the 457 visa program. And a lot of the debate that we've been having is really a debate about the 457 visa program, not a debate about the China Free Trade Agreement. If we introduce these labour market testing exemptions for China, for the Chinese companies, I think it'll look about 1% of the program will be affected, and we'll also see some removal of some skills assessments. That looks like about 4% of the current skills assessments which occur look like they might not occur in the future as well. And then we also have these side agreements for these investor facilitation agreements, which I think seems to be the real sticking point for a lot of people. Those agreements are completely at the discretion of the government of the day, so it's very hard to predict what will happen with them. But we do know that there's about 200 of these agreements already in place with nothing to do with the Chinese Free Trade Agreement, so you would likely see a handful of these agreements into the future.
Henry Sherrill, thank you very much.
Thanks, James.
He's a policy analyst at the Migration Council of Australia.